Walt Disney Pictures. All animals in this production were trained with care and concern for their safety and well-being. Scenes which appear to be harmful to them were simulated. Walt Disney Pictures presents a newspaper headline: Gold, 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 thousands flock to Alaska. Starring Klaus Maria Brandauer and Ethan Hawke. White Fang, a Randall Kleiser film. With Seymour Castle, James Remar, Susan Hogan. In black and white, a passenger ship drifts slowly by with black smoke spewing from its funnel. Then, an old-fashioned map, moving up the western seaboard from Seattle to Alaska. A sweeping panorama of snow-covered mountains. Music by Basil Poladouris. In other photographs, the ship is moving through a partially frozen sea, surrounded by pack ice. Based upon the novel by Jack London. Screenplay by Jan Rosenberg and Nick Thiel and David Fallon. Produced by Mary Kay Powell, directed by Randall Kleiser. In a winter wilderness, a wolf cub emerges from a hole under a fallen tree, then pads a little way across the crisp white snow. A pack of wolves is racing through a forest, passing between the trees in a blur. An Arctic hare takes flight as the wolves come bounding over a ridge towards it. The wolves give chase, and when the hare hesitates, they devour it. One wolf peels away from the pack and sprints off with one of the hare's limbs clamped between its teeth. It climbs into the hole under the tree, then deposits the meal in front of the cub. As the cub licks around the white fur and gnaws at the meat, the adult looks on. Surrounded by snow-covered mountains, a freight box containing a dog is being lowered on a pulley. Men guide the box down onto a quayside, where passengers are disembarking a ship. A young lad looks in at the dog.
Here's some slack.
Careful, boy. You could be his breakfast.
The owner kicks the box.
Hey, don't do that.
Why not? He's mine.
Shipped him all the way from San Francisco. It was a family dog. I'm gonna teach him to fight. Good fighting dog can make a lot of money up here. Hey, you up here for the gold?
You got that right.
Well, it's out there, just waiting for somebody to pick it up. His friends of mine. So here's Luke, Tinker. Didn't get your name.
Jack.
Jack. What's your hurry?
You guys ever heard of a man named Alex Larson?
Alex Larson? He's my old pal.
Practically brothers. Why, beauty here saved Alex's life more than once, ain't you, beauty?
Do the same for me.
Back up. You fellas don't really know Alex Larson, do you?
Well, what'd I tell you? You can't fool these city boys. Nah, we don't know him. We can find him. He's a gold man. And who ain't up here? He'd be on his way up the golden staircase.
Golden Staircase?
Chilkoot Pass. About 2-3 miles outside of town. You need some help hauling your gear to the top, though.
Okay, sit back off.
Hey, easy. Sorry. We don't mean to crowd you, boy. Good luck to you, Jack.
See you later.
Carrying his kit bag and snowshoes, Jack moves on and suddenly feels his trouser pocket. He looks around for the three men, but they've disappeared.
Hey!
I've been wrapped.
Welcome to the Yukon.
How high is that golden staircase?
About a mile, but it'll seem like more.
Yeah, well, I can make it up that far.
In an encampment, Jack stops to take in the sight of hundreds of prospectors shuffling up a steep mountainside in a straight line. He falls into step at the end of the line.
Hey, I'll sell you a map of a place where there's plenty of going.
Jack passes piles of prospecting equipment. With his cheeks red from the cold, he stares upwards at the steep, snowy slope ahead as he and the other men trudge onwards. They're all holding onto a rope, using it to haul themselves up a narrow gully that's been carved into the snowy mountainside. Jack stumbles and falls to one side, then carries on up the mountain. The man behind Jack gives him a shove, and Jack struggles on, snowshoes in hand. Further up the mountain, the wind is blowing fiercely. Finally, Jack reaches the top, where a small encampment has been set up. He takes a moment to look back at the dense line of men stretching all the way back down the mountain. Walking past large white tents, Jack goes over to two men.
Hey, do you know where I can find Alex Larson?
Yeah.
Over there.
Jack heads over to a man lying on the ground next to a sledge.
Are you Alex Larson?
Depends who is asking.
I send you a letter.
Anybody knows me, knows I can't read, so they don't write. Anybody writes me, I figure I don't know him.
Well, I'm Jack, Scott Conroy's son. I'm looking for somebody to take me to my father's claim. Who's in there?
Name's Dutch.
Jack helps heave the coffin onto the sledge.
My father sent me his maps before he died. And he sent something else. He sent me gold. It was gold dust in the envelope. If you take me out to his claim, I'll cut you in. What's so funny?
Everybody finds a little gold dust. That's what keeps you digging. But you have to strike it. Your father didn't. Go home and find a regular job. You wouldn't last a day out here.
I'm a good worker, and I just want what's mine. I'm asking you to give me a chance.
Skanka?
Yeah, what is it? Alex, I was dreaming you, me, and Dutch was living it up in Frisco.
Get the ducks ready.
I hope Dutch appreciates this ride, because you should have died at your digs. Saved us a trip. Back.
Are you going near my father's claim?
Scott Conroy's boy.
What? Let me see that face, kid. Come here. My God, Alex, he's a spitting image of his old man. And I knew your pa well. Clarence Thurston.
Jack Conroy.
You throwing in with us?
Yeah, I'd like to.
No.
No?
No. Well, you're taking him with you and you're not going to take me? He looks half dead already.
Hey!
No offense.
Give me a stick of that gum and I'll forgive you.
It's hard to get it up here and make my breath smell real fresh.
Yeah.
Hey, don't worry about him. He's just tired, that's all.
Yeah, or he knows there's gold there and he wants it for himself.
Whoa, boy. You got the harness on the wrong dog.
Listen, if you don't want to take me, and I'll go by myself. I'll get rich by myself, too.
I think he's crazy enough to do it, Alex. And you know he doesn't stand a chance. Come on, Alex. He's Scott's boy. Look at him, huh? How much trouble could he be?
All right. I'll take you as far as Klondike. Fall behind, and I'll leave you where you drop. Understand?
Yes, sir.
You're going to regret this.
Oh, Alex.
Now, a vista of snow-covered peaks. In the hole under the fallen tree, the young wolf cub wanders up to the entrance and peers out, his ears shivering with the cold. He looks up at the trees towering above him, then sniffs the snow. Alex is leading a pack of huskies who are pulling his sledge. The team races across the snow with Skunker holding onto the back of the sledge and Jack running behind in his snowshoes. They make their way across a plain that's bordered by a range of mountains.
Whoa! Alex! I got a loose harness on blue!
Jack stares at his surroundings with a look of wondrous awe. Skunker catches him looking and smiles to himself.
Okay!
In the hole under the tree, the cub is jumping up playfully to his mother, who licks him. The mother emerges from the hole onto the sunlit slopes, and a few moments later, the cub pokes his head out too. The mother comes back over to him, wagging her tail, and their mouths nuzzle together. She nudges her cub back into the hole, then sets off. Meanwhile, Alex and his team are still racing across the snow.
Come on, boy! Attaboy, Digger! Pull! Hush! Come on, boys!
Jack stops and looks behind him, spying something black moving in the snow. He carries on, but trips.
Whoa! Are you all right, kid?
I saw something. In the woods.
Wolves. They've been trailing us for a couple hours now.
Game's scarce. They must be starving.
Think they're after us?
The dogs. Wolves won't jump a man. Unless hunger's got them totally crazed. Let's get going.
Wolves, be the devil on earth. Kid, give me a piece of that gum again, will you, Tom's here? I'll carry it for you, okay?
Come on!
Push, Digger! Push! Come on, boys, pull! Push, let's go!
A black wolf watches them from a distance.
Push, come on, pull, buddy! Let's play it around!
Now it's night time, and Skunker is cooking something in a pot over an open fire.
Put that top a little close to the fire, don't you?
Well, don't want to freeze to death.
Jack's brushing his teeth.
What's he doing?
Cleaning his teeth.
How'd they get dirty?
Jack puts away his toothbrush.
Oh, jeez.
His blanket's on fire.
Watch it!
Skunker pours broth on it.
Whoops,
Yeah, I know it's a little fishy, but you can put your head the other end.
Told you. Too close to the fire.
Jack shrugs and sits back down. When he pulls out his toothbrush again, it's frozen into a block of ice.
Nice weather.
He gets out a book and begins to read. Alex eyes him curiously, then goes over to his bag and starts pulling out other books and throwing them on the ground.
What are you doing?
Only things my dogs drag are things we need.
That's my property.
You want him? You can.
Hold it. I'm gonna feed the dogs, fellas. You're not gonna kill each other while I'm gone, are you?
We'll wait till you come back.
Oh boy, here comes the fishies. They smell good, too. You guys know who loves you, don't you? Here you go, Spitz. Here's one for you. And here's some fish for you, Patty. Oh, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Jack glances over at Alex.
Seven fishes of fish for seven dogs, and you didn't get it.
What are you mumbling about?
Seven fish for seven dogs, and Digger didn't get fed. I swear there was a wolf in with the dogs, and I fed the damn thing.
Well, how would a wolf get in with the dogs?
He's dreaming again.
Jack looks around nervously. In the blue light of dawn, the wolf is making its way back to the hole under the tree. It heads inside and drops a fish onto the ground. The cub quickly starts to lick and bite at it. Alex is cleaning his gun. Skunker stands up.
Relax. Fire's going. I will keep the distance.
Alex, ever tell you my uncle was a wolfer down in Montana? When I was little, he used to lower me in the hole and have me shoot the cub puppies for the bounty. I hated doing that.
Get some sleep, Skunker.
Morning, and Alex is trudging across fresh snow ahead of his dogs, who are pulling the sledge with the coffin. As before, Skunker holds onto the back, while Jack brings up the rear on foot. They arrive at a slope.
Whoa!
Whoa. We gonna go around?
Yeah, the dogs can handle that. Just go slowly and stay to the left. Help me balance this, come on.
Let's keep it nice and slow.
Easy.
Alex starts to slide.
My books!
Damn it, kid, forget the book! Look out!
The sledge topples over.
Hang on, kid, I got you. Hold on there, now stand up. Dig your feet in. Just stand up. Get your feet up. Come on! Get the rope untangled.
Skunker is clinging onto the rope holding the sledge.
Come on, Jack. You can do it, kid. Come on, reach up there.
The rope gives, and Jack and the sledge slither down the slope.
Get clear of the sledge, Jack!
Jack lets the sledge go ahead of him. It tumbles down the steep slope, with Jack not far behind it. As Jack slows to a stop, the coffin bounces off the sledge and breaks open. The deathly blue body of Dutch tumbles out, rigidly clinging onto a dead husky. The pair slide and slither the rest of the way down the slope, finally coming to a rest on an icy lake. Jack starts to make his way down.
Jack, stay right there! Don't move on that ice!
Don't move!
Jack's crossing the ice to Dutch's body.
I'll get the ammo!
Jack steps carefully across the icy surface, then stands looking down at Dutch's corpse. Carefully, he reaches down and picks up a bag. The ice begins to give way beneath his feet, and he drops through into the water. With boxes of ammo floating down around him, Jack swims upwards and grabs hold of Dutch, who's also fallen into the water. Jack bobs up to the surface.
Help me!
Help! Don't you let them move!
Alex throws him a rope and Jack grabs it. They haul him out of the water and across the ice.
That's it. Keep moving. Take it easy.
Now, boy. Get this off and I'll get the blanket. Turn it blue.
Skunker rushes to the kit bag.
Get the fire going before he freezes to death. Hurry up! Take a shirt off. Help me!
Skunker tries to set fire to a bunch of kindling.
It's gonna be too wet. Come on, sir.
That's it.
Books.
He starts ripping pages out of Jack's books.
Keep moving! That's it, come on.
Now we're cooking. It's going.
Come here.
Come on, get him over here, Alex. Sit down here, boy. Put your hands under your arms.
Keep your fingers moving. Now, let's get the rest of this wet cloth off.
That's starting to feel good, huh?
Later.
I'm sorry, Alex. I was trying to get the ammo and I
stopped talking and drink this.
Drink it. It's pine needle tea. It tastes like hell, but it keeps the heart pumping.
Jack drinks.
I'll get Dutch.
As Alex heads off with the robe, Jack glances at Skunker. Later that night, Alex is repairing the coffin.
What's left?
3 cartridges.
Bang. It's like being naked out here.
He's Scott's boy. How much trouble could he be?
The huskies are looking restless.
We've got company.
Shield the firelight from your eye. Look hard.
Let's get the dog safe. George, dig a...
You got space, Fatty?
Settle down. Settle down.
Get down in there. Get down in there.
Look.
It's a wolf.
It's a female, Alex. That bitch is part dog.
That's why she's afraid of the fire.
She's a decoy. She draws the dogs out so the pack can eat them. Digger, come back here. Digger.
Dan, come back.
Damn you, Digger. Come back, I'm gonna whoop you. Digger, come back here. Digger, come here. Damn you, don't be fooled! Get over here! Digger! Come back!
Digger!
Where are these bullets?
Are you crazy?
Are you crazy? Get the
stop! Skunker! Come back!
Digger! Get out of the way!
Don't waste the bullets!
The sled dog Digger goes to follow the wolf until it sees a much fiercer black wolf approach.
Oh, God! Digger!
They're right behind you!
Come back here!
Skunker!
Skunkers run off after the wolves, and Alex and Jack stand listening to the shots in the distance. After a moment, Alex turns back to the fire.
He's gone. Nothing we can do.
The injured mother wolf limps back up the slope. Alex puts another log on the fire.
Sorry, Skunker. We
didn't have a chance to say goodbye.
He turns to look at Jack.
Go to sleep.
Jack looks at him for a moment, then lies down. Clouds drift past a full moon that hangs ghostly white in the sky. Jack wakes up to find himself looking into the eyes of a hungry wolf. The wolf bares its teeth and licks its lips. There are more wolves nearby. Alex throws a burning log at them.
Help me!
Come on!
A wolf runs towards them and Jack quickly tosses a burning log at it. He and Alex continue throwing until the wolves scamper away into the trees. The two men look about them to make sure the wolves have all gone. Later, they're sleeping in the middle of a wide circle of fire. By morning, most of the fire has gone out.
Let's pick up.
The dogs watch them from the shelter of some trees as the two men gather together their bags and put them on the sledge. Suddenly, Jack's attacked from behind by a wolf. The fierce black wolf leaps on Alex, knocking him to the ground. More wolves join in, tearing Alex's clothes from him and ripping into his flesh. As he tries to fight them off, Alex falls back onto the remaining flames.
Hey, you all right?
Yes, but how did you find us?
It's all the smoke from your fire.
Thank God. You saved our lives.
Meanwhile, the injured mother wolf is unable to walk and is dragging herself along on her belly back to the hole under the tree. Inside, the cub lies patiently waiting. His ears prick up at the sound of his mother, who manages to drag herself to the entrance before collapsing. The cub scampers out, and his mother blinks wearily and licks her lips. As the cub watches her curiously, her movements become weaker and weaker. Finally, she shuts her eyes and stops breathing. The cub wanders over and sniffs at her face. He licks and nuzzles her in vain. Much later, he's lying with his head resting on her body. A flurry of snowflakes drifts down on top of him and he shivers slightly. The snow continues to fall more and more heavily until the cub and his mother are nearly buried in it. Finally, the cub lifts his head and looks around. Snow clinging to his fur, he gets up, then raises his head to the sky. Through the tall trees comes a reply. The cub sets off towards the noise. A few paces along, he stops and looks around, then sets off again across a carpet of fresh snow. He retraces his steps and spots an adult wolf wandering around nearby. Others come to join it, play fighting with each other. Watching the wolves from an icy ledge, the hesitant cub backs away from the edge. Excited and intrigued by the pack, he fidgets on the spot, but doesn't dare venture towards them. When the other wolves turn and run off in the opposite direction, the cub finally decides to take action. Scampering across the snow, he does his best to catch up with them. But the wolves are much faster and unaware that he's even following them. The cub doesn't stand a chance. His paws sink beneath him and his face presses into the soft snow. The pack disappears around a corner and the cub is alone once again. Meanwhile, Jack and Alex help the dogs haul the sledge to the top of a hill. Emerging from a wood, the little cub's running his nose along the snow when suddenly the ground disappears from under him and he sends sliding down a steep incline. Landing with a bump, he falls right through the snow covering the ground and finds himself in a vast underground cavern of ice. There's a light at the far end of the cavern, and the cub tentatively crosses a slippery stretch of sheet ice to reach it. Silhouetted as he clambers over the rocks at the cavern entrance, he scampers out into the open air. Lowering himself onto his stomach, he pauses to look around, then continues his trek. Elsewhere, Jack walks over to a frozen lake and kneels down at the water's edge. Unscrewing the top of a canteen, he reaches down and begins breaking a hole in the ice. Looking across to the opposite bank, he notices the cub nervously approaching the ice for a drink. The cub looks up at him, water dripping from his snout. Then, growing anxious, he turns and runs away, heading up the mountain. Jack returns to the sledge.
What chance would a wolf cub have of surviving on his own out here?
None, without the pack.
After watching the men moosh out of sight, he goes back for a drink. Finding a pool of water that's not frozen, he bounds across some pebbles on the bank and sniffs a fish that's flapping in the shallows. When the fish then wriggles up onto the pebbles, the curious cub goes back over and thinks about picking it up with his teeth. Each time he makes a move to bite the fish, it flaps out of the way and eventually returns to the water. But the cub remains curious. Following the fish with his eyes, he eventually settles for just a drink. Shaking himself dry, he leaves the water behind and moves back onto the snow, where he lies down on his stomach. Spotting a trio of mice, he goes over to investigate. One of them takes off across the snow like a rocket, and the cub gives chase. When it ducks into a burrow, the cub pokes its nose through the entrance and begins scratching at the snow. He soon gives up, shaking himself off again. He tries chewing some hanging branches, but doesn't find them appetizing enough to carry on for long. Suddenly, he spots an Arctic hare hanging from a rope tied to the end of a vertical pole. Moving underneath it, the cub tries jumping up to reach it with his teeth. Beside him, another branch has been rigged up with a rope. As one of the cub's paws presses down next to it, the branch suddenly springs up, hoisting him into the air. He's left hanging beside the hare. Meanwhile, Alex's sled dogs are struggling through deep snow.
Come on! Come on!
Alex helps by pushing the sled from behind until they reach the top of a slight incline. He brings them to a halt.
Is there any good reason why we can't just bury him here? I don't think he'll know the difference.
I gave him my word.
Okay.
Alex rides on the back of the sledge, leaving Jack to catch up on foot. Trying to wriggle free of the hunter's snare, the cub stops moving when he notices two men and a boy approaching with a sledge being pulled along by a couple of dogs. He pays close attention to the dogs. The hunters examine the cub from up close. One of the men cuts him down. He checks his teeth.
Look, the white thing. This wolf is part dog.
After putting the cub down on the ground, he places a makeshift leash around his neck. As he's pulled along, White Fang doesn't seem too happy with the arrangement.
Come on, catch me.
He passes the two sledge dogs, and they all sniff each other's noses.
Come on, see.
One of the hunters lifts White Fang onto their sledge and ties off the leash. The dogs get to their feet and begin to move. Riding on top of the sledge, White Fang suddenly becomes anxious.
You know, I'm glad Dutch is dead because I'm ready to kill him.
Reaching a river, Alex brings the dogs to a halt when he spots a dilapidated tent pitched on the far bank. He bangs on Dutch's coffin.
Look! Look at that! Okay, come on!
A little later, Alex is kneeling by a freshly dug grave. Dutch's name has been engraved onto a makeshift cross.
Let's move out. Klondike is still a good 2 days away.
Jack's by his side.
You gonna say anything?
Alex buttons his coat and walks away. Now, White Fang's being trained by the young boy.
Come.
Take a home,
Opie. Over here.
Wearing a harness, the cub drags along a small log as he chases the boy across the snow.
Looks like he's gonna be a good working dog.
Meanwhile, Alex and Jack are on the move again. A little later, they reach Klondike, a small settlement of wooden buildings and tents.
Hey, Harry.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Alex.
Take good care.
Sure will. Okay?
Joe takes the dogs from Alex.
What are you going to do for money?
Well, I got $50 in my boot.
You'll be all right. You can get a dry bed at Bradford's, at the edge of town. Tell Dave if I sent you. He'll give you a good rate.
Okay. Where are you going?
To see a friend.
Okay.
Listen. Get yourself a partner.
Yeah, sure.
Go
Don't go off on your own.
Hey, don't worry about me.
Alex offers Jack his hand.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Watching Alex head off, Jack seems apprehensive. Weighed down by his gear, he looks all around him before eventually making a move. He passes a man getting ready to have his photograph taken. Spotting Alex entering a saloon, Jack follows him inside. A customer calls out to a waitress.
Heather, sit on my lap here and give me a kiss.
Shut up, Clyde, I'm working.
And pants, why don't you put on a pretty dress for us?
Because I couldn't do this.
She kicks him over.
Don't you love me anymore, Heather?
Jack spots Alex talking to a woman.
How beautiful you really are.
They turn and see him.
Who's that?
He's cut Conroy's son and brought him up here.
How remarkable. He looks like Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Jack walks over and the woman holds out her hand.
Belinda Casey.
Jack Conroy, how are
you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Do you work here?
I own the place.
Oh, great.
Would you like a drink?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Shouldn't you be at Bradford's?
Pleasure meeting you. Bye, Alex.
Bye.
Outside, a sign reads, General Commission, claims bought and sold. A sled drawn by mules slides along in the mud. As he explores the town, Jack spots Belinda walking across the road with a heavy basket.
Miss Casey.
Oh, Jack.
Hi. How are you?
Can I get that for you? Yes, you certainly can. Got it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how'd you make out? Did you find some place to stay?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. Do you know anybody else here?
Just you and Alex.
Uh-huh. Well, would you like to join us for dinner?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Good. Come by in an hour.
Okay. You heard they made Alcatraz into a prison, didn't you?
No. When I lived there, it was used for immigration, I think.
Not anymore. Now they've got federal prisoners there, soldiers that deserted during the war, and some of the Indians from Arizona.
Indians? Oh, that's horrible. I'll get some dessert. Would you like some coffee?
No, thank you. Get out of here. No.
Take me where I want to go.
No.
No, stay in.
I'll think about it. If you get out of here in 2 seconds.
Jack jumps up.
You're not leaving?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for dinner. It was delicious.
He grabs a slice of pie.
Can I borrow that book? I promise I'll return it. Good night, Alex.
Good night.
You know, I think he really likes you.
Alex considers.
And how about you? My dear Belinda.
Outside, as darkness falls, Jack's walking through the town. A scantily clad woman standing in a doorway catches his eye. She beckons him over with a seductive nod, but a sheepish Jack holds up his hands and walks on. Now, the snow around the settlement has begun to thaw. It's raining, and Jack's on the bank of a wide river, planing the underside of a partially constructed rowing boat. Walking over to him, Alex crouches down and looks along the boat's hull.
The lines are wrong.
What makes you the expert?
Experience. It'll be hard for us to control.
Does that mean we're partners?
It means that I'll take you to your father's mine. That's all it means.
Jack grins.
Oy, oy.
Now the snow is melting off the mountains, icicles are dripping, and streams are in spate. Animals drink and bathe in a river, while a bird dives beneath the surface, rippling the water. Four white paws trample pebbles on a riverbed, and a fully grown white fang plucks a large fish from the water. One of the hunters watches him carry it onto land. In Klondike, Jack's walking past a shop when he spots a fedora in the window. Taking off his cap, he steps inside and removes it from its stand. Later, he's wearing his new hat as he prepares to set off in his completed rowing boat.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you too. Next year, we'll have that hotel in San Francisco.
Come on, Alex, kiss her. I won't look.
This time, you'll see.
Alex kisses Belinda briefly on the lips, then they both help Jack to push off. The two men climb aboard.
See ya!
Bye!
Belinda! Feed the dogs. Well, you are a romantic, aren't you?
Belinda waves from the bank as they set off along the river. Jack rows while Alex steers. A rainbow stretches skyward across a fine mist hanging over the trees on the riverbank. Alex is watching Jack as he gazes at it in awe. Later, the wind picks up and the mist brushes over the river. Later still, Jack notices they're approaching a village.
Who are they, Alex?
They are Han Indians. I know the chief of this tribe. We'll stop here for the night.
Jack tosses a rope to a man. They step ashore.
Come to see Grey Beaver.
As they're led into the village and the hunter walks over to greet them, Jack immediately focuses on the adult White Fang walking by his side.
Good to see you, my friend.
And you, it's been a long time.
Jack, this is Grey Beaver.
Gents, nay.
Grey Beaver gives Jack a hug.
The boat is taking water. We have to retar it.
Fine.
Grey Beaver walks over to his wolf and removes a harness. Jack wanders over.
What's his name?
White Tongue.
What does that mean?
White Fang.
Jack seems mesmerized.
Hi, Mighty Tuck.
He crouches down.
Can I pet you?
He reaches out his hand.
No.
Just wanted to pet him.
Dogs are for work.
Maybe they'd work a little harder if you were a little more friendly.
We make fire, kill with sticks. Cause stones to fly. We are their gods. That is why they obey. Not because we're friends.
Grey Beaver walks away.
Mayatuck.
Moving away from Jack, White Fang growls as he walks towards two dogs barking at him from the other side of a fire. They run away. Later, Jack and Alex are settling down by the fire.
You boys want a stick of gum? Well, here you go. Thank you very much for dinner. It was very good.
Grey Beaver and his family leave Alex and Jack alone. Lying on top of his blanket, Jack looks out across the water.
I can't sleep when it doesn't get dark.
You get used to it.
White Fang's over by the river.
let you forget.
Noticing him standing at the water's edge, staring straight ahead, Jack sits up, open-mouthed. After looking over his shoulder at the village, White Fang tilts his head back and howls at the sky. Jack's enchanted.
Now listen, it's not food. You're supposed to chew it, not swallow it, alright?
It's daytime, and after handing two boys a piece of gum each, Jack takes a walk. Moving between green bushes at the edge of the village, he attracts the attention of three young women. As he smiles sheepishly at them, two young men walk over and stand in front of the women. Jack gets the message. Carrying on, Jack looks over his shoulder to see White Fang watching him from the bushes. He freezes. White Fang scampers off, and Jack continues his walk. A little while later, he spots a moose in the distance and stops to watch it. Suddenly, an enormous grizzly bear rises up behind him and gives chase. Jack runs for his life. Scrambling over a mound, he trips and rolls, but quickly regains his feet. He sprints towards a large pile of logs and manages to squeeze through a gap underneath one of them. Reaching in and catching his leg, the bear begins scratching at the earth in order to make the gap larger. Lifting itself up, it bounces on top of the logs and pokes its head between two of them. Jack cowers as a gaping mouth filled with razor-sharp teeth bears down on him. Reaching in with its paw, the bear scratches Jack's arm, tearing his sleeve. White Fang's watching the attack. He growls, attracting the bear's attention. He runs towards it, but the bear spins around and rises up onto its hind legs. White Fang hesitates. He circles the bear, then positions himself between it and Jack. The bear goes to sidestep him, but White Fang matches his movements, keeping himself in front of the bear's prey. Jack looks on amazed. No matter how many times the bear tries to get around White Fang, the wolf successfully blocks its path. Frustrated, the bear begins swiping the ground in front of it, then raises its paw to White Fang. White Fang snarls viciously. The bear rises up once again, towering over him. But still, White Fang doesn't back down. Jack can't believe his eyes. A threatening growl from White Fang and the bear backs off. Jack's astonished to see it skulk away. White Fang then turns and looks at Jack before running off. Seeing no sign of the bear, Jack crawls out from underneath the logs. Later, the villagers are going about their daily chores of catching and cleaning fish. Walking through the village carrying his bag over his shoulder, Jack looks around and spots White Fang staring out across the river. He walks over to him. White Fang looks over his shoulder as Jack crouches down and places a piece of dried meat on a log as an offering.
I won't forget you.
White Fang turns back to the river. Watching them, Grey Beaver looks disapprovingly at Alex, who just smiles. Then Jack joins them and they prepare to push out the boat. White Fang's disappeared. Jack turns to Grey Beaver's wife.
Thank you so much.
They push the boat away from the bank and climb aboard. Jack waves as they float off downriver. White Fang makes his way up to a vantage point from where he can see the departing boat. As he rows, Jack sees the wolf watching them. Later, on faster flowing water, they row down the river, passing rolling mountains whose snow-capped peaks are hidden in the clouds. Reaching some shallows, they climb out. Later, having left the boat turned upside down on the bank, they wander up a steep slope that's covered in greenery. They scramble up to the top of the hill and look out across a picturesque valley. A wooden cabin lies in the distance.
You're here. Your father wanted to be buried on the claim.
Jack sees a small wooden cross in the ground, then looks at the cabin. Having crossed the river, Jack puts down his bags at the door of the cabin, then takes off his hat and tentatively steps inside. As he takes in the ramshackle interior, a bird flaps around overhead. Jack edges towards a table caked with dust. Amongst the tired-looking furniture, he sees something on the floor that catches his eye. It's a small wooden box. Jack flips open the lid and takes out an old black-and-white studio portrait of a family. As he stares at his parents and himself as a boy, he becomes emotional. Alex steps into the cabin, but when he sees Jack's tearful face, he discreetly walks out again. Later, they're sitting around a campfire.
When I was younger, I used to think he was a hero. My mother would tell me all these stories about where he was and what he was doing. I never knew what was true. He said he wanted to give us a better life. All we wanted was for him to stay.
What took you so long getting up here? It's been a year.
My mother got sick.
She pulled through?
No.
Sorry.
Later, Alex is washing up.
I know you want to keep moving, but I've got to try it here. Settle in here.
The gold is further north.
Why don't you try it here, Alex? There must be gold here, and I know we can find it. It's not a bad spot.
I'll get you started.
Now, water is being diverted into a wooden sluice with slats at the bottom. As Alex pans for gold, Jack climbs up onto the cabin's roof. With a can stuck onto a stick, Alex ladles some water onto a bed of stones and gravel, then shakes it up. Meanwhile, Jack's repairing the roof. Alex puts his pickaxe and shovel into a cart, which he wheels into a mine. Grey Beaver is walking through a town, with White Fang at his side pulling some furs. The three men who hoodwinked Jack off the boat, Beauty, Luke and Tinker, struggle to control their dog.
Oh,
biscuits. Look at that dog.
That ain't no dog, you idiot. That's a wolf. Come on, let's go.
Keeping their dog on a lead, the three men look over at White Fang.
Take him down there. Let's see what happens.
All right. Come on. Go get him! Go on!
The men release their St. Bernard, which goes charging towards White Fang. The two dogs wrestle, trying to lock their jaws around each other's necks. The men rush forward to take a better look as White Fang pins the St. Bernard to the ground.
Damn, I want that animal. Get Buck out of there.
Buck! Buck, easy, boy. Back, easy, Buck.
Get back. Easy.
Sorry, I'm overstocked as it is.
Down, boy. Sit! Sit! Easy.
Maya Chuck! No!
Dalna! Dalna! Dalna!
Be yours?
It's all right. Lady.
Well, look what your wolf done to my dog here. Who's gonna pay for the damages?
Easy.
You know it's illegal to bring wolves into town, don't you? Luke, go find us a Mountie. He'll straighten this out.
Wait. Here.
Grey Beaver offers Beauty a fur.
Not interested in furs, Chief. But I'll take that wolf off your hands.
No, it's not for sale.
That's too damn bad. Because now you're going to spend some time in jail. Go find him, Luke.
No. How much?
You know something, Chief? You're shrewd.
Come on.
This wolf's gonna make us a lot of money.
Get in.
The three men lock White Fang in a pen.
Looks like he's taken to the place. Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
White Fang leaps out of the pen and over the heads of the men.
Leave it. Hey, wolf. Choose teeth.
Go.
They try to cover him in a blanket. Meanwhile, Jack's in the mine, chiseling into the rock by candlelight. As the mine starts to cave in, he runs out in a cloud of dust. He kicks his hat away in frustration.
My hands hurt, my head hurts, my feet hurt. Let's get some dynamite and blow the whole damn mountain up. What do you say?
That would be too easy.
While Alex is using a large container to pan for gold, Jack picks up a book.
What's the story in that one?
Well, it's about this man who... he builds a machine and takes him into the future. I can teach you to read.
You teach me to read? I'll make you a miner.
Deal.
White Fang's chained up.
All right, Wolf. See what you got. Come on, Wolf. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Come on. That's it. Blood, Wolf. Yeah. Come on, Wolf. Hold him. Come on, Wolf. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's see what you got. Come on. Come on. Come on, Wolf. Come on. Wolf. Come on, Wolf. There you go. Ah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Ah. Yeah. Yeah. Ah. Oh.
White Fang rips a sheet out of Beauty's hand.
I think he's ready.
Now at a dogfight.
Wolf, don't you let me down. Get mad. Come on, get mad. Get in there and kill him. You understand? Come on.
They open up White Fang's cage and lead him out into the ring, which is surrounded by bales of hay and excited punters. The other dog, a German Shepherd, is barking. Beauty looks on anxiously. The men in the crowd exchange handfuls of cash between each other. Beauty and the German Shepherd owner give money to a third party. Then Beauty signals to Luke.
Gentlemen, on three. One, two, three.
The dogs charge towards each other. The crowd reaches a frenzy as White Fang pins the German Shepherd to the ground and kills it. After the fight, all bets are called in.
Come on, come on, come on, Wolf.
You did good.
It's a pleasure taking your money, Sykes.
I'll be back, Smith.
Next time, bring a live dog. Okay, Wolf, come on. I want you to get mad. Now, and win. You understand me? You understand?
All right, on three. One, two, three.
Come on, quick. Quick, yeah!
Yes.
The crowd goes crazy as White Fang wins another fight, much to his owner's delight. The wolf finishes off another opponent. Later, he's being kept in his cage. Now wearing smarter clothes, Beauty steps towards him.
Easy, boy. You done good tonight. I brought you something extra. Take it easy. Here you go.
White Fang bares his teeth as Beauty approaches with a bone, which he tosses onto the ground, away from the cage.
You just keep on hating me, Wolf.
Beauty leaves, and White Fang tries to reach the bone through the bars of the cage, but realizing he can't get it, he rests his head forlornly on his paws. Alex is learning to read.
It took days for the boys to reach the secluded hideaway. No one had set foot into the housey.
House.
For years.
House. Into not the house. Housey. House.
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 House. For years. When the door was finally opened and the fur. A fowl? Like the birds?
No. Fowl like the birds is F-O-W-L. This is F-O-U-L. Fowl like a bad smell, like rotten, like your socks smell foul.
I washed them.
Yeah, well, use some soap, would you?
If you spend as much time digging as you do washing, then of course...
I do more than my share around here.
That's a lot. Who do you think does all the cooking?
You do. You definitely do. And with the way you cook, I'm lucky to still be alive.
And do you all that cooking? I'm not your wife.
Yeah, that's for sure. You're too damn ugly. That's U-G-L-Y.
They push each other, and a clothes rack falls down on Alex.
Maybe we ought to head into town tomorrow. We need supplies anyway.
Good idea.
White Fang's being held in a cage beneath a sign that reads, Beauty Smith's Fighting Wolf.
Get away from that cage! Get him away there, Tinker!
Get back!
Hands, buddy! Mr. Sykes! Step aside, Dylan! What have you brought for us today?
A dog's let out of a cage.
Where's the rest of them?
It's a bulldog.
He's pretty.
Killers, you moron. Look at them jaws.
Shut up.
It's Cherokee. I've seen him fight.
Your dog's unbeatable, right? I've got 5,000.
says he won't be after today. What's the matter, Smith? Too rich for your blood?
Let's do it.
As Jack and Alex wander into town, the dogfight's about to begin.
Gentlemen, on three. One, two, three! Get him!
The two dogs twist and turn, snarling and biting. They leap up into the air, their paws flailing. The bulldog manages to get its jaws around White Fang's throat. The wolf wriggles away, but the bulldog snaps his jaws at him once again. White Fang turns his head, trying to sink his teeth into the other dog. Some blood has appeared on White Fang's nose. The dogs wrestle head to head. White Fang hooks his paw around the bulldog's neck. As the fight goes on, Alex and Jack walk into the barn and see White Fang being pinned to the ground.
Flip him over!
Come on, Wolf, get up! Get up, Wolf! Come on, get up!
Get up!
Hey, that's White Fang.
Get up, Wolf!
Stay out of it.
It's over!
Not yet, it ain't.
Come on, Wolf, get up and fight him! Ah!
Alex pulls Beauty off.
Will somebody give me a hand here?
Get this dog off
yes,
of
son.
Here!
I got him. Let go, then.
Hey, don't break those teeth!
Let go, dog!
Mounties! Mounties!
Hey, kid! Hey! Kid, that's my wolf!
Yeah, he was. I paid for him when you robbed me in Skagway, remember me?
Oh, yeah?
You stay.
Jack carries White Fang out.
Hey, you two. Keep an eye out for me. This ain't finished yet.
Later, Belinda's putting a bandage around White Fang's neck.
He's lost a lot of blood.
At least he won't have to fight anymore.
Good night, Jack.
Alex pats Jack on the shoulder, then heads off. Jack pulls up a chair to sit by White Fang's side. He sits and stares compassionately at the injured wolf. Now, Alex and Jack are carrying White Fang on a stretcher.
I remember the good old days when dogs used to pull men.
He needs to be in the cabin so I can take care of him.
I'm not sleeping in the same room with a wolf.
Later, Jack gently places a bowl of water next to White Fang.
You're wasting your time.
He was tame once, you saw him.
He was. He's not anymore.
Jack turns off the gas lamp.
Don't give up on me, you hear?
Another day, and Alex and Jack arrive back at the cabin. White Fang's knocked over the furniture.
Congratulations. You've got a healthy wolf on your hands. Now get him outside.
I can't do that by myself.
Pulled out a piece of meat. I'll unhook him.
Alex picks up a stick as Jack creeps forward. White Fang stares intensely at Alex.
Look at him watching my hand. They beat him bad. There's not hating him now.
He was taught to hate. All he needs is a little bit of kindness. Try it without the wood.
You try it without the wood.
Jack crouches down and edges forward. White Fang's glistening green eyes follow Jack's every movement as he reaches for a chain. He unhooks the clip and, keeping his eye on White Fang, unties the chain from a piece of wood.
Are you crazy?
No, I know what I'm doing. I hope. I'm just gonna untangle this. Here we go.
White Fang snaps at Jack's hand.
Turn him loose. He belongs in the woods.
I know you don't want to hurt me. But you're right. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have tried to force you. I don't know what they did to you, but everybody's not like that. I promise. It's gonna be all right. So you come on out when you're ready.
Later, Jack wraps the chain around one of the cabin's wooden struts. Then he joins Alex on the decking.
You forgot something.
Just wait.
They stare at the door, and eventually White Fang appears. He trots off and heads towards the edge of the river. Alex watches the wolf with a gentle smile on his face.
Now what?
Now it's a rainy, misty day. A smoke rises from the cabin's chimney, White Fang still sitting near the water.
You hungry, boy?
Yeah, of course you're hungry. You're always hungry.
The wolf runs around.
Where are you going? It's pretty good, huh? Hey, White Fang. Hey. See, that was pretty good, huh? Hey. Hey.
Jack throws another morsel of food, which White Fang gobbles up.
Not so bad, huh? Want a little more, maybe? Hey, hey. Come on, boy. I'm a pretty nice guy. Maybe a little more? Hey.
He moves towards Jack wearily.
Come on, hey. White Fang, hey. Look at this.
White Fang eats another piece of food, but then moves away.
Come on, boy. It's okay. Yeah, not so bad. Don't tell me you're not hungry. There you go.
Moving slow.
Jack extends his arm, and White Fang takes some food directly from his hand. Jack reaches out his other hand and tries to stroke White Fang's head.
Huh? Huh? I'm sorry?
Finally trusting, White Fang eats from Jack's hand without pulling away.
A little more? Here you go.
Jack gingerly offers another morsel. The wolf laps it up. Jack strokes his head as he eats. White Fang licks Jack's bandaged hand.
We're gonna be okay.
Hearing Jack's voice, Alex springs out of bed. He goes to the window and sees Jack lying on the ground outside, with White Fang clutching his arm in his jaws.
Watch out!
He has a gun.
Put the rifle down! Put it down!
Alex puts the rifle inside the door, and White Fang relaxes.
He won't hurt me.
White Fang gently takes Jack's arm in his jaws. Alex shakes his head, then smiles.
Scared the hell out of me.
I told you he was intelligent.
Later, Jack and White Fang are running through the woods.
Come on, come on.
They run into a clearing, and Jack plays with White Fang, rubbing his belly. By the river, Jack holds up a stick and White Fang leaps for it. White Fang snatches the stick out of Jack's hand, then runs off with it. Wearing a harness, White Fang pulls a cart out of the mineshaft, with Jack pushing it from behind.
I'm gonna go back in and get one more load.
Don't. It's late.
Come on, boy.
Jack pulls the cart back into the shaft. Suddenly, clouds of white smoke billow out from the entrance.
Jack! Jack!
Alex makes his way into the shaft, holding up a lantern. Part of the tunnel has collapsed. White Fang scrabbling at the rubble with his paws.
Jack!
Jack's buried. The wolf digs a hole, then Jack appears.
Hey, buddy.
A little later, Jack staggers out of the shaft.
Are you all right?
Oh, the sky never looks so blue.
Jack lies down.
No, it can't be.
What?
Alex wipes his hand across White Fang's paw, revealing tiny specks of gold on his palm. He smiles gleefully while Jack looks amazed. The two of them rush back into the shaft, followed by White Fang. As they reach the pile of rubble, Alex's lantern illuminates the tunnel roof, which is glistening with gold.
Holy mackerel. Well, we're rich, aren't we? It's just like we dreamed of.
It's gold, all right. If the quality is bad, it won't be worth much. No sense getting crazy just yet.
Alex is picking through a tray of gold pieces and putting them into a small cloth sack.
You're sure you don't want to take him with you?
No, there'll be too many people. Okay, bye-bye.
Listen, don't get caught up in anything there. Just get in, get it tested, and get back here.
As soon as I can.
He sets off.
What are you gonna do without me?
I'll yell at the wolf.
Trapped in the cabin, White Fang suddenly crashes through the window and runs after Jack. Jack crouches to greet him, and Alex smiles.
I guess he's coming with me. I'll pick up a new window.
Jack arrives in town with White Fang on a lead. He heads into the assay office.
How you doing? I'd like to have this tested. I'm on claim number 7, right below Discovery on Blue Creek.
White Fang sees Luke sweeping the floor with a broom and snarls. Luke backs out of a door.
What is that?
I hope he's been fed.
Jack watches as the gold pieces are emptied into a clay container.
Here it is. Fee and deposit paid for by Scott Conroy, in his name and his son's. You Jack Conroy?
Yeah, that's me. I'd also like you to add Alexander Larson's name to that.
It's your gold.
Jack watches closely as an elderly Chinese man places the container into a furnace. He brings it out using a pair of tongs and pours the liquid gold into a mould. Once hard, he chips out the solid ingot. He takes off a small piece and lowers it with a pair of tweezers into a steaming amber liquid. Finally, he gives Jack a nod. Luke and Beauty Smith join Tinker on the roof watching Jack.
We gotta get going.
But you just got here, Jack.
Well, we've got some things to do.
All right. Don't forget what you came for.
Oh, right. Come on, White Fang.
Take care, Jack, and be careful.
I will. Bye-bye.
Alex is pushing a wheelbarrow when he notices Jack arriving back with White Fang.
What did they say?
Who? Oh.
The assayer. Who else? What's wrong with you?
Read for yourself.
He hands Alex a sheet of paper.
The quality of gold found at the claim of Jack Conroy and Alexander
Larson, tested and weighed by the assayer at Klondike City on the 11th day of August, 1898, is found to be 98% pure. We're rich. We are rich. Very rich. That's what the guy says. The guy says very rich. He says we are filthy, stinking rich.
They hug. As evening falls, Beauty and his men are watching the cabin from across the river. Jack and Alex are having a drink.
While you were gone, I did some thinking. I'd like you to come back with us to San Francisco. To be part owner of our hotel.
Jack looks at White Fang.
So what do you think?
I think it sounds like a good idea.
I'll name it after your father, the Royal Scott Hotel. To your father. Good friend.
Dream on, boys.
Later, Jack's fast asleep in bed. White Fang looks up. On the roof, Luke covers the smoking chimney with a cloth.
There's something on the roof.
Armed, Beauty and Tinker take up positions in front of the cabin, while Luke climbs down from the roof. Smoke's filling the cabin, and Alex opens the door.
You must have been followed. I was careful, Alex. I did what you... White Fang, get under here. Come on.
White Fang goes under the bed. Jack grabs a rifle.
And it stops the pipe.
Luke fires through the window. Jack and Alex are hunkered down on the floor.
Stay down!
Alex dips a blanket into some water, then throws it to Jack.
Put this over your head. It'll help you breathe.
Alex covers his head.
I can't stay in there much longer. Hold your fire until they come out.
Maybe they're dead.
Alex is playing his Jew's harp.
That's coming around the mountain, ain't it?
Beauty slaps him.
You got some.
He fires into the cabin and the bullets ricochet off the wall above Alex's head. Beauty sits back down.
That'll keep them guessing.
Beauty raises a flask to his lips, then puts it down, looking annoyed.
They ain't taking the hint.
He pours the alcohol over some cloths attached to sticks, which are then lit. Tinker and Luke distribute the flaming torches in and around the cabin. Alex throws a pail of water onto the roaring flames, and he and Jack try to control the fire by flapping blankets at it. Flames lick the roof of the cabin, and inside, Jack and Alex thrash at the inferno. White Fang's watching from under the bed.
Let's move in.
Luke creeps around the side.
Get in there, Tinker.
Or in your teeth.
Tinker approaches the cabin. Inside, a flaming shelf crashes to the floor. Tinker kicks open the door. White Fang leaps onto him, making his gun misfire and hit Luke in the foot. On all fours, Tinker stares in terror at the snarling White Fang. Beauty takes a shot that misses, and White Fang turns on him and gives chase. White Fang leaps onto him. Beauty reaches for his gun. But White Fang bites him on the backside. Jack stops Tinker from shooting. Luke reaches for his gun, but Alex spots him and aims his rifle at him.
Hey! Easy, easy. Come on. Easy, easy.
Now, under the watchful eyes of Jack, Alex and White Fang, Beauty's harnessed up to a stretcher and pulling a heavy sack into town. Tinker and Luke are walking alongside him, carrying packs.
Hey, go get us some Mounties, would you?
Yes, sir.
Alex saunters out of the saloon as people crowd inside. He spots Jack sitting by the riverside with White Fang. Alex wanders over to him. Jack watches an eagle swoop through the sky, then land by another eagle.
If you are going to catch that boat in Skagway, you've got to leave soon.
You know you can't take him with you. He'd be miserable in the city. He has to run free. That's his magic. He thinks you're a wolf.
Jack smiles to himself, and Alex shakes his head. Now it's dusk, and Jack and White Fang are walking up a set of wooden steps. The next day, they wake up lying on a makeshift bed of twigs and leaves on the slope where Jack left the boat. Jack gently strokes White Fang's neck. After a moment, he sits up, gives White Fang another pet, before getting to his feet and picking up the lead. Together, they set off across the countryside, then stop in a wide open field of grass. Jack kneels down in front of White Fang and takes off his lead.
Take care of yourself, all right?
He nuzzles into the wolf's face for a moment.
Go on. You're free. Go on.
White Fang goes to follow him.
Go on, get out of here! Listen to me! Go, go! Go! Go!
Jack throws a stone at him.
Go on! Go!
listen to me! Go! Get out of here! Go! Go on!
White Fang just stares at him.
Get out of here!
When Jack picks up a stick menacingly, White Fang turns on his heel and runs.
Go on!
He disappears into a thick clump of trees, and Jack drops the stick. He turns around, looking distraught. He starts to run across the grass in the opposite direction. Back in the bustling town centre, Belinda's sitting on a wagon, which Alex is loading up. Jack comes down the wooden steps, still holding White Fang's lead. Belinda spots him.
Oh, here he is, Alex.
Jack comes over to them.
Where's the wolf?
I let him go.
Alex nods, and Jack hops onto the back of the wagon, nestling in amongst all the bags and belongings.
Hi, Heather. Don't let them get away with anything.
The waitress, Heather, waves them off. On the back of the wagon, Jack smiles to himself as the wagon rolls out of town. Later, at the port, Belinda, Alex and Jack climb up a gangway onto a boat.
I can't believe this is actually happening.
Halfway up the ramp, Jack stops.
Alex, I gotta tell you something. You can't leave. Not yet. I'm gonna go back to the claim.
Alex nods understandingly.
Just case. So long.
He holds out his hand and Alex shakes it. Then the two men embrace.
Your father would be proud of you.
Jack smiles shyly, then heads back down the ramp.
I'll keep an eye on your boat for you.
No, you better. And leave a room open for me.
I have to. I'm part owner.
Jack waves, and Alex turns back to Belinda. Arm in arm, they climb onto the boat. Jack walks away through the busy town. Now he retraces his steps to his and White Fang's makeshift bed on the hillside. He stops and whistles. Now he's back at the burnt-out cabin. With his scorched books lying on the grass, he clears out pieces of charred furniture, then sets about straightening up the porch. Later, having pitched a tent outside the cabin, he sits down beside a campfire and pours himself a hot drink. Now he's fixing new wooden panels to the cabin roof. As he hammers in nails, something makes him turn around. Suddenly, his eyes light up. A short distance away in the trees, White Fang stands gazing over at him. Jack quickly jumps down from the roof. White Fang bounds over, and Jack splashes through the river to greet him.
White Fang!
White Fang leaps onto him and knocks him onto his back. Now the two race happily through the grass together, White Fang's tail wagging furiously. The end.